James 5 and 16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Look with me now at Matthew, the 21st chapter. And I simply want to lift up verse 22. Matthew 21 and 22 states, whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. Lord, have mercy. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. Amen. I want to talk this morning, two-part series on this particular topic. I want to talk about obstacles. Obstacles. Church, today as we continue our journey of our theme for the year of being committed to be established. For the last few Sundays, we've been concentrating on the subject of prayer. And it's vitally important for us as believers to develop a constant and consistent devotion to prayer. Prayer. Because we'll never become committed to anything in our lives if we fail to commit our lives to praying and praying daily. When we commit to prayer, our lives will witness the impact of what God promises to do. When we become praying people, our houses will become homes. The emptiness we experience in life will be replaced with fulfillment. Our instability will become stable, and our souls will be anchored. And when compassed about by the storms of life, when we become praying people, healing will take place. Deliverance will happen. Hearts will change. Souls will be saved. You see, the act of praying is the one thing that Jesus demonstrated to the degree that the disciples desired to be taught. Lord, teach us how to pray. Instead of wanting to know about the spectacular and miraculous deeds demonstrated by Christ, they were drawn to the discipline of prayer. Jesus felt it necessary for them to know how to pray. And so Jesus instructed them to pray, and not only pray, but he modeled for them a life that was devoted to prayer. And we must approach prayer like we approach the daily routines and necessities we undertake without thinking about them or laboring to do them. We must first develop a desire to pray. Somebody say desire. We must have a passion and a thirst to pray. And until you have the desire to pray, then you will not be committed to praying. The desire must be a want to in order to pursue it. And the next thing that that happens when you make prayer a desire, then prayer will become a discipline. Somebody say discipline. Discipline where it becomes a daily routine in your life, like you take your medicine. How many of you know in order for your medicine to work, you got to be disciplined with it? Not only must you take it every day, the most effectiveness of your medicine can only take place when you take it the same time every day. So just like taking medicine, you got to pray every day. Prayer must become automatic in our lives. When we become disciplined in our praying, when we have a desire to pray, and then prayer becomes a discipline. When it's a discipline, then prayer will ultimately become a delight. Somebody say delight. When we become disciplined in praying, prayer will become a delight. And when prayer becomes a delight, we will no longer approach it grudgingly. But we'll have joy and excitement because it is gratifying and fulfilling. When prayer becomes a delight, then it's no longer a struggle to pray because we delight in it. Not only do we do it, but we look for opportunities to do it. You see, Psalm 37 and 4 tells us, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God responds to those who take delight in him. Not just want from him. Not just order from him. Not just look at God as a sugar daddy. But you want to be in the presence of him because you have a thirst for God. You seek him while he may be found and call on him. Call the mighty. While he's yet near. When you delight in him, you seek him. And too often, we seek after God for what God can do for us. And fail to seek after him just for who he is. We fail to realize that what we want from God, that God is that which we seek after. Did you hear that? What we want from God, God's already that which we seek after. You remember Moses went to God when God put a call on his life and told him, I want you to go back, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, now when I go back now, inquiring minds want to know who sent me. God tell them that I am sent you. In essence, God says, whatever you need, God is saying, I am that. If you get a delight from me, you will discover that I will be whatever you need, whenever you need it, because he is the great I am. You see, God will bless you to the degree that your desire can't go beyond his ability to give it to you. You can't want greater than God can bless you. As a matter of fact, my ability to give to you, God is saying, my ability to give to you is greater than your desire because I got some things stored for you so great and so glorious for you. The best way God said I can describe it is no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, the good things. God got some good things for you, prepared for them who love him. And so he says, take delight in me. Somebody say, take delight. I know what prayer can do. I know what prayer has done. And I know what prayer will do in our lives if we desire it, if we become disciplined in it, devoted to it, and take delight in it. We will grow deeper in the Lord and our lives will immediately become better. So if prayer is offers us so much, if we all know that there's power in prayer, and if we know that there's benefit to praying, then why don't we pray like we should? I believe we fail to get the rich benefit of prayer. It's because we fail to recognize or deal with the obstacles that stand in our way, that keeps us from having an effective prayer life. James 5 and 16 says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much, or is powerful and effective. In our theme passage of scripture from Matthew 21 and 22, Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will, not you might, you will receive. What a powerful promise of what prayer will do is written in the Word of God for our lives. Now, if this be the case, and it is, one must ask the question, is it happening in your life? Are these promises a reality for you? Or do you feel like when you pray, most of your prayers go unanswered, then get answered? Now you got to be honest about this question. Put your pride down. Don't get in a denial about the state of your prayer life, because the Holy Spirit is here to help you and put you on the right road now, so that you can reverse the trend and have an effective and powerful prayer life where you will receive what you ask for in faith. How many of you know prayer works? I came here early yesterday, and you know, I told y'all this month just ain't good for me. And I got up, came here, got here early, and walking down the hall, bless God, the group prayer walkers was in the room. Mm-hmm. And Sister Wright was praying. I don't know if they knew I was here. But I stood by the door for a minute because she was praying, and she was praying the word. And what they don't know was they were restoring my soul. How many of you know prayer works? I went down that hall kind of dragging, but after Sister Wright sent up that timber on yesterday, I had a little pep in my step, because it reminded me that I'm not alone. It reminded me that God is able. It reminded me that I'm blessed, even when I don't feel it. Prayer works. Somebody say prayer works. You see, but when you pray, You got to pray with confidence. You got to get up and know that after you said the amen, God heard your prayer. And that God is responding to your prayer. You got to overcome the obstacles. Now, there are obstacles that stand in that way that keeps us from making progress or moving forward. Obstacles, church, are vision blockers and wisdom stoppers. We've got to overcome obstacles when it comes down to praying so that we can move forward in our lives. Church, there are two types of obstacles I want to deal with. The first obstacles are called hurdles. Somebody say hurdles. The second one are called hindrances. Somebody say hindrances. You see, hurdles are those obstacles that the enemy puts in our way to keep us from moving forward and to discourage us from having a powerful prayer life. Now, hindrances are those things we personally create that hinder us from having an effective prayer life. Today, I'm going to focus on the hurdles. Next Sunday, I'm going to deal with the hindrances. Whatever we do, church, how many of you know there are two ways to do it? There's the right way and, y'all with me, y'all with me. So it is with prayer. You must know the right way to pray. Because if we could just do it, then the disciples would not have asked Jesus to teach us. So prayer is taught. Prayer is taught. I know out of our tradition, through the history of our church, we have learned prayer by those praying fathers and mothers stood up in the church and just called on the name of the Lord. And they passed the tradition down. And so we have learned the tradition. But the reality is, we've never been taught. We got tradition down. Here I am once again, oh God, standing before you with my head bowed between the locks of my shoulders. So glad that last night didn't end in death. My bed wasn't my cooling bowl. And my sheet wasn't my winding chain. See, we know those words, right? I'm gonna put my little hand in your big hand. Yeah, we got that tradition down. But we've not been taught. And so the disciples said, we know the tradition, but we see something in Jesus different. So Lord, teach us how to pray. So praying must be taught. And there are some basic practices that we must adhere to as a scribe not by my way, but by God's word when it comes down to praying. Because the enemy doesn't want you to know this, so that your desire to pray will be diminished when you keep trying and you don't get the results. There are five obstacles that get in the way of praying. And I'm going to give you these obstacles, and I'm going to give you the word to help you overcome it. The first obstacle, when it comes, y'all want to hear them?
Yes.
Y'all not tired of me, are you? All right, all right, all right. The first obstacle is the wrong approach. Somebody say wrong approach. All right. John 16 and 23. It declares, on that day, Jesus said, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. When we petition heaven in prayer, Jesus tells us that we are not praying to Jesus, not to him, but our prayers are directed to God, our Father. But we must ask the Father in the Son's name. So when we pray, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus. When you do it that way, you're starting off right. You're starting off right. The devil's scratching his head. He's getting nervous. Somebody done told him. We don't pray for Jesus' sake. It's not for his sake. It's for our sake. And we've got to approach the Father in the name of the Son. Amen. Father, in the name of who?
Jesus.
So you got to overcome the wrong approach. You can't get up, oh great thou creator, over the daffodils and meadows. Who makes blooming flowers pop up? No, I'm catching hell. I don't need to hear about no flowers. I need to hear how God can come and see about me. I need to know how to talk to the Lord. Now, if I want to make melody, I'll sing a song. But I'm praying now. And how many of you know praying is like plowing? You got to break the ground up. So you got to have the right approach. The second obstacle that we oftentimes encounter is that we don't spend enough fellowship with God and God's word. John 15 and 7 states, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Lord, have mercy. You see, I know that there have been times I've had family and friends who promised me stuff. Uh-huh. and they couldn't deliver. You see, in this Bible study series I'm doing now, we're talking about possessing the promises of God. One of the steps is that you got to overcome is knowing and believing that God can deliver. And so we see in his word, God is promising us, I will deliver. You see, the lack of fellowship with God and the word of God often leads to unanswered prayers. I didn't say unheard prayers, but unanswered. Jesus promises that if you abide, and that Greek word means if you remain in me and allow my word to remain in you, then you can ask for whatever you wish, and it will, not might, be done for you. The picture of this scripture also paints that Jesus says to us, if whatever you ask, if it's not available, I'll make it for you. Good God Almighty. So when the doctor says there's no cure, you say, you don't have it, but I know where I can get it. Because he said, if I ask, shall be done for me. You will notice that if you can't have an effective prayer life if you don't get in the Word of God. Because as I've been teaching in the Bible studies, and y'all need to come to Bible study. Some of y'all I ain't seen since I've been here. And I'm worried about you. I just don't want you to come just to have a bunch of people. I want you to come because there's benefit. Now, if Oprah was here saying, I've got some prizes, all y'all. Y'all would come. Because you know Oprah can give some prizes. But guess what? God can deliver far greater than what Oprah can deliver. So you're not coming is a sign that you really don't trust God like you say you do. Because if you did, you take a delight to get here on Wednesday night. So you gotta have fellowship in the Word. Because when you pray, you ought not always be praying your problems. God already knows your problems. He's looking for faith. And so if you're gonna pray with faith, you gotta pray the Word. Hallelujah. All right? The third obstacle, which leads to what I just said, that gets in our way, is not asking according to God's will. 1 John 5:14-15 states, and this is the boldness that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Lord, have mercy. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have attained the requests made of him. Lord, have mercy. When we ask according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he's heard us, whatever we ask, We already got it. So when you pray according to his will, which is his word, when you pray according to his will, when you get up off your knees, you walk back to your seat saying, it's done. In the name of Jesus. You see, God will only answer those prayers that are in his will. And we know that God's will is his word. And so when we ask God for anything according to his word, then we know he hears us. When you are in need, his word says that the righteous will never be forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. So when I pray, Father, you promised never to forsake me. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. I put his word back on him. Let him know I'm standing on your word. You said everything will work together for my good. I'm not down to talk. Lord, you know they're talking about me. They did me wrong. Juju didn't do what he said he was going to do. Please, Lord. No, you pray with confidence and boldness. I'm putting his word on him. God responds to his word. And when you pray according to his word, you don't have to wonder if God heard you. You get up and say, I know he heard me. Because I prayed according to his word, which is his will, and I know that I already got it. You don't be praying, Lord, if it be your will. No, 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 I know this is will, because it is his word. And when you pray according to his word, he hears you. Amen?
Amen.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
All right? The fourth thing, the fourth obstacle, is we fail to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:3 tells us, keep your heart, or guard your heart with all vigilance. From it flows the issues of life. Show me your heart, and I'll show you what's going on in your life. Because the state of your heart is where the issues of your life flows from. Now, your heart is not that organ that's beating. That's not what the scriptures talk. Your heart is your spirit. It is the center of who you are. And so you got to guard your heart. Because the enemy does not want your heart to absorb the word. Another way to put it, your heart is your garden. What you allow to be planted in your garden is going to grow in your life. And so you got to guard your heart. Jesus told this parable about the seed and the sower in Matthew 13:19. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. The devil is in here right now trying to take that word and keep it from getting down in your heart. If you get that word down in your heart, it will birth in your life. You got to guard your heart. Now, how do I guard my heart? I guard my heart by what I allow my ears to hear and my eyes to see. That's why I know I'm not a big advocate of reality TV. I know y'all like Scandal and Haves and the Have Not and what's the big one? Empire. Yeah, y'all. Empire. Y'all watch all that foolishness, all that cussing and fussing and acting bad. That thing gets down in your soul. Then you go to work, you cooking now. You talking big and bad to your boss. And then when they fire you, you come revving, oh, revving, what happened? I just spoke my mind. Okay, that's why you fight. Go somewhere and sit down. That thing will get in your spirit. Don't tell me it won't. It will. It will. You got folk calling you with junk, gossip. Hey, child, you know what's going on down there at the church. You tell them, say, my pot's on. I can't talk to you right now. Hang up. Don't let it get in your. You cut them off. Cut it off. But you got itchy ears. Go ahead, girl. Tell me. What? Then now you come up in here with an old attitude over false information. You don't even know nothing about it. You up in here looking. You know, they tell me he getting ready to change some stuff right here. Go somewhere and sit down. Guard your heart. The fifth thing, y'all all right? The fifth obstacle is a lack of faith. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, church. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. According to Romans 10 and 17, your faith will only grow to the degree you allow yourself to be exposed to the word of God. Without the word, you can't have faith. And Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so the enemy doesn't want you to live by faith. He wants you to operate by feelings. My faith is my trust in the word, irregardless of how I feel. I might be nervous, I might be scared, but I stand and say, God, I trust you. Because if I tremble, even when I can't trace him, but if I trust him, eventually I'll triumph. Because God will always come through. He honors faith. And so Mark 11 and 24 tells us, so I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. When you pray, you got to believe at that praying moment that whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, that you have it now. And eventually it will show up in your life. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith. And that is the mindset we've got to have when we pray. We got to pray that our answer is now. And not be tricked by the enemy that we might get it. Or as the word suggests, or as the world suggests, sometimes things will work out and sometimes they won't. But when you are a child of the King, and when you walk by faith and not by sight, our faith declares that I got it right now. And because I have it now, I gotta operate and live like it's mine. I can't wait on what other folk gotta say, but I gotta move like it's mine. And I gotta trust God to deliver when it looks like things are not going my way, because the old folk used to say, God may not come when you want him to come, but do I have a witness in here that God will show up? I said, won't he show up right on time? You see, Edisto Falk, I'm reminded of the story of a praying woman named Aunt May. Aunt May was a praying woman who lived down in the deep country. And Aunt May had a son who lived in Chicago. And one day Aunt May got a letter from her son. And she looked at the letter and said, this my boy's writing. But because she couldn't read, Aunt May had to go to a neighbor. And she said, would you read this letter for me? This my boy. And so the neighbor opened up the letter. And the letter said, Mama, I'm in Chicago. And I'm sick. And the doctor said, I'm not going to make it. He said, Mama, I'd come home to you, but I'm too sick. Will you come home to me? So Aunt May, she went running to the white folk for which she worked. And she told them, my boy is sick in Chicago. I wonder if you give me a little money so I can catch the train to go see my boy. And you know, people can be mean sometimes. So the woman looked at May and said, May, I can't give you no money. I need you with me. You don't need to go to Chicago. You can't read and you can't write. And she said, no, May, you can't go. Well, Aunt May was walking home, heart shattered in many pieces, tears coming down her face. But then she heard the voice of the Lord. And then Aunt May got down on her knees. She said, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. She said, my boy is in Chicago, and I need to go to my boy. Won't the Spirit speak to your soul? The Spirit told her, said, May, get up and go home. Pack your bags and go down to the train station. And when the train pulls up, I'm going to tell you to get on board. Aunt May went and packed a little bag, put it on the arm, went running down to the train station. She couldn't read, but the Lord told her, get on that train. So May, she got on that train, and she took a seat, sitting ready to go and see a boy. And so the train pulled off,
going down the tracks, and then the ticket man came punching tickets, and then he got down at me. He said, "Ma'am, where's your ticket?" She said, "Sir, I have no ticket." He said, "Well, do you have some money?" She said, "No, sir, I have no money." He said, "Well, is there somebody on the train that's your friend who can help you right now?" She said, "No, sir, I have no friend." And then the man went and he pulled the emergency brakes and stopped the train. He said, "Woman, you gotta get off." And that man said, "No, I can't go. My son is sick in Chicago." The man called for help and they grabbed Aunt May and they pitched her off the train. And when she hit the ground, Aunt May went to praying, "Lord, I'm out here on your word. You told me to go and they done thrown me off the train." Well, on the train, the ticket master, he told the engineer, he said, "You can pull off now. I had a woman on here that didn't have no ticket. And so we threw her off." And so the engineer, he released the brake and he built up the steam. But the train, it wouldn't move. He said, "Something wrong." He tried it again. He released the brake. Then he built up the steam, but the train, it wouldn't move. So he called back to the ticket master. He said, "Man," he said, "what that woman's doing?" He looked out the window. He said, "It looks like she's on her knees. Looked like she's praying." The engineer said, "Well, you better go get her, because this train won't move." Hallelujah. So the man went and he got Aunt May and he put her back on the train. And he was furious with her now. And so as the train was moving off, he looked at her. He said, "Woman, you think you got away, but you don't know, because this train stopped, we're running behind schedule. And you need to catch the next train at the next stop in order to get to Chicago. And by the time we get to the next stop, I want you to know the train you need will already be gone." He looked at him and said, "Ha, ha, ha." Well, Aunt May, she looked at him and she smiled. She said, "You don't understand, sir. The same God that held this train, he's gonna hold that train. The Lord will make a way." Is there anybody here who knows the Lord? He will make a way. Won't prayer? Won't prayer? Won't prayer? Won't prayer fix it?